previously on the Hired Swords. Dwarves tend to get a lot of assumptions about us. We're a cold, calculated people. More headstrong than humans or elves, stubborn. That might be true. They're usually tight-knit families as well. It's been difficult to watch as Gwendolyn yearns so greatly to know more of her father and of her people. If we can give her answers, then maybe this whole journey has been worth it. I just have a bad feeling about lands that look like ghosts of their former selves. You're listening to The Hired Swords, a podcast about a sorcerer who finally admits he's actually a demon boy.
Hey everybody, welcome to another darn episode of The Hired Swords. My name's Michael. And I'm your Dungeon Master, and I just wanted to slow things down a little bit and just experience this moment with you. I'm also experiencing this moment with Derek, because he's Davin.
Hi, hey, Derek. First.
Yeah, you're the only one whose face I can see. Blaze is also here. Blaze is Sovereign Ember Oak.
Sup, dogs?
Hello. I also
and
have
all
Joxer.
Cool cats. Oh, I'm just going to keep talking now.
That's cool. Cool. People love it in a podcast when more than one person talks at the same time. Mikey's here. He's Joxer.
Yeah, that's me, and I like pasta.
Ooh, good. Do you have a certain type of pasta that's your favorite? Like a certain shape? Because they all taste the same.
Oh, they do not all taste the same. I had a green chili infused pasta last
okay, well, like,
week.
That's obviously going to taste different.
Well, that's pasta. You just said
that's
it all tastes
shape.
The same.
I said it's your favorite shape.
I don't know.
Is this a pasta cast now?
Yes.
Yes. Seems like it.
Pasta sword. Yeah. No. I don't know.
Ash, I haven't introduced you yet.
All sorts of.
Maybe right. I don't want to be introduced.
All right. Well, then let's get back to the recap. I'm just kidding. Ash is Gwendolyn.
Hi.
Ash is Gwendolyn.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
I'm here, too.
I'm sad.
I mean, the answer is obviously penne, right?
That penne is good.
Tortelloni.
Bow tie? Yeah.
I don't need anything so extravagant.
There's an OG meal at Olive Garden. They have a bow tie pasta meal that's real good. It used to be my go-to. I don't remember what it's called now. Anyway, in the last episode of The Hired Swords, now that everyone's hungry for pasta.
I know what I'm doing after this.
Yeah. We went to this village. Everyone finally made it into the village. We explored a little bit, found some artifacts and some interesting things. Ash found some sort of magical item that she's about halfway through trying to attune to so that she can really know what this thing does. They also explored and learned that this was the village where spice was grown and packaged to be shipped. And they did find, our team found a barrel full of these peppercorn-type spices. One of which Sovereign took a bite of and just was in heaven. Some real flavor for the first time in a long time. They then stored that very valuable barrel of spice in the brew hole under the keeping of Spell Slot's keen, watchful, not eye, fingers, I guess. And then, so they then decided to explore a little bit more, found a map that kind of showed that there are six of these villages strewn in a broken kind of not exact circle around the forest here, this area. And they were in the, of course, Spice Village. There was some more, including what looked to be some sort of fruit growers, perhaps, and some farmers, maybe, and perhaps even some jewelers and something to do with magic as well. And so then they explored to the edge of the village where Carmen and Davin saw a cart that was worn down and dilapidated like most things here. I feel like I've said the word dilapidated more in these podcast episodes than I have my entire life combined. But they used this, they saw something hanging from this, from the handle of this cart, the cart broken down and destroyed, and beyond there, the spice fields that seem to be kind of stuck in a corrupted, frozen version of what this field used to be, with spice ready to harvest, but not any longer, as it is pretty disgusting with the fog and mist and everything that has overgrown in this place. So that's where we are now. And Davin is standing there with Carmen looking over these fields and at this cart with something hanging from it. And that's where they are now. What are you guys going to do?
I'm going to go see what's hanging from the cart. If a DM says something twice, you want to know, you got to check it out.
That's a good point. A little tip for you new players out there. So you walk towards the cart, and when you do, you see that this thing hanging there is some sort of bag. It's like a satchel with one kind of flap that goes over the top of it. And it's strangely completely uncorrupted and unharmed.
I will use Mage Hand to lift it up and bring it toward me as I walk toward it.
It bites you. No, I'm just kidding. You lift it up and bring it towards you and walk towards it. And it's, as it gets closer, you can see that the stitching of it is, it's a dark gray kind of leather pouch. The stitching is a shiny silver. And there are areas where the stitching is kind of stitched around into runes of some kind that are, if you look just right, it looks like they're like glistening off of sunlight or something, but that's weird because there's no sunlight really here.
Well, this looks really nice. I'm going to flip it open and I'm going to look inside.
As you look inside, it looks empty.
Well, at least I have a nice bag. I'm going to reach down just to make sure there's nothing in it. I'm going to reach my hand down.
You reach down your hand and it goes way deep inside of this bag, way further than it should, all the way up to your shoulder if you want. And you have heard of this. You have a bag of holding.
Sweet.
You also feel inside of there. Now that you realize what you have, you're like, I want to see what's in here. And so you notice several small bags and a couple of long wooden handles that you can kind of feel the tops of these handles in there as well.
I'm just going to take the thing and turn it upside down and see if I can dump everything out of it.
Okay. Yeah. At your wish, everything that dumps out, you see this long handle garden tools, rakes, a couple rakes and some hoes and some things like that kind of fall out. You also small bags filled with some sort of something inside of them also fall out. Carmen says, how did you know that all that would be in there?
Oh, I just know things. I'm smart. All right.
Okay.
You can't forget about it. Don't be such a... Never mind. I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm going to open up those small bags that popped out of it and see what's inside those.
When you have three bags. One's a bag of, it looks like some sort of strange purple tomato kind of vegetable. One is a leek. They're leeks, like large, almost like green onion looking things. And then a bag of turnips. And inside of them, you notice they are cold, almost like frozen cold inside. And make an investigation check as you kind of look through the inside of those things more.
Okay,
not a real
sure,
difficult one, but we got to roll dice. It's the first
23.
Dice roll of the episode. Oh, yeah.
I did
you,
good.
It's very cold in this bag as you reach down and you find something that does not feel like these leeks. You pull it out and it is a gemstone, a light blue colored gemstone. And when you pull it out of this bag, all of the vegetables inside of this bag thaw immediately.
Well, that's neat. Carmen, did you see that?
Your hand doesn't feel cold either.
I think I like this thing. Hey, guys, I found some stuff. Guys?
More
spices? Flavors?
I found some rakes. Some turnips.
Not as cool. Turnips?
Turnip for what?
That's the best joke of the night.
Boom. Thank you guys for listening. It's been a great episode of the Hired Swords.
And we're done.
The best joke that could be told was just told, so we're going to wrap it up.
Sorry, it's a quick one, but we'll come back with another.
Yeah, we'll come back. We'll come in hot next time.
As they approach, I'm going to throw a purple tomato toward Joxer. Oh, I don't know what this thing is, but
it's a seem potato. To know.
Oh.
Potato.
Potato.
Purple potato?
Okay.
It was frozen until you took it out of the bag and tossed it to him, and then it's fresh. Nice.
What's the deal with the spud, bud?
They're perfectly frozen. In these bags. And I think it's because of this blue gem thing. I think it somehow it's magically like freezes things. Keeps them preserved. It's nice. It's cool. I mean, literally cool.
So there's more? We have more. We have food, is what you're saying.
There's like some potatoes and leeks and turnips. They're fresh. Nice. We could have some decent food for once.
That sounds wonderful. I also have to add, I like it how Davin says potatoes.
Potato?
Potato?
Title.
I also found this bag. It seems to be. Have you guys ever heard of a bag of holding before? It's basically kind of like Joxer's hole, but it's stylish.
I'm familiar. Just keep it away. Don't keep it away.
Okay, I'll carry the bag unless somebody else wants to.
I already have a bag, but thank you. I've only read about them. They're supposed to be pretty neat.
Ah, I mean, all the stuff on the ground here was inside of it. Also, of course, there's the fields here, or I'm assuming they did all the spices.
Gwendolyn probably walks out a bit into the middle of the field to look. Okay. She still rubs the gem.
Okay.
I'm going to pack one hoe away and then the rest of the vegetables.
Sorry.
and then put that all back in the bag of holding.
There is no other name for that. There's no other name for that tool. I looked it up.
It's
the only name for that tool.
I just imagine someone like, get in there, Tina, and then you just pack the ribs and
stuff
there.
Eat your dinner.
Eat your dinner, Tina.
To earn your dinner.
I can't eat it later. You never know when a hoe might come in handy.
Call it the ground scraper from now on.
Okay, actually, I can just move earth. I can mold earth. I don't know why I even need
That's
it.
That's true. You don't need a hoe. You can mold earth.
I realize that in the moment, and I pull it back out and throw it on the ground.
Is a rake a ground scratcher, then? Is that the difference?
Yeah, ground scratcher, yeah. Ground scraper. Yeah. And a shovel is a ground mover.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah.
Which are also the names of the things at Disneyland, I think, right? Those are people movers. Never mind.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, what are we doing here?
Anyway, I'm cleaning up the mess I made.
Okay. Yeah, so you've got some frozen vegetables, like straight from the Walmart freezer aisle, and you have, they're not chopped, though. And then you have any of the garden tools you'd like, but you do have this very nice bag of holding.
If I put the vegetables back with the blue gem the way I found it, do they stay frozen? Does it seem
they
like...
They freeze up immediately.
That's just really cool and maybe dangerous in the wrong area. I'm going to put it all away. What?
Yeah, I'll toss you that potato again and see if we have a full pack.
All right, we'll make a dinner tonight.
Well, Carmen's kind of walked out a little bit as well, and Gwyn has walked out looking over the spice fields. They are pretty good size. It looks like a few acres worth of growing fields. And like I said, it looks like the sections of the fields had been harvested before whatever happened here happened. And the rest of it is just kind of frozen in time a little bit. Not frozen, cold frozen, just stuck the way it was whenever this darkness took over the area. And Carmen kind of looks down and kicks some of the plants, and they kind of smudge on his boot, and it's more rotted and gross than actual plant life anymore. And Gwyn, what are you doing as you look around out there?
Oh, I look at him. And I would say, because I heard him kick the ground, What did that plant do to you?
I was only checking to see if it was still a plant at all. I don't think these are anything that resemble plants any longer. Maybe they once were, but not anymore.
I mean, they might. Even when someone has passed, they still hold memory. They're still a soul. That's what these guys are.
Perhaps. I never really thought of plants having a memory or a soul. Perhaps I'm wrong. I apologize. So, I'm sorry, plant. I did not know.
Oh, I am snickering and I'm turning away and snickering.
And he backs away from you, Gwyn, back towards the rest of the group off of the fields and just kind of decides better of venturing out with you.
I don't want to hang out with the squared girl. Goodbye. I kind of just stand there and look. And I'm just speaking in Elvish now. Dale, what would make these people leave? I understand that it's this darkness, but what caused it? Why drop everything at all? And I reach down and I push the plant back in that was kicked out of the ground. A little.
Oh, when you reach down to pick up that plant, it just disintegrates in your hand. And what you put back in the ground is basically just the little bits of root that were left behind after the stalk and leaves of this plant had been just dissolved away.
That's fine. She's still going to try to plant it the best she can.
Sure.
What? I don't get it. I don't understand. And she kind of just walks away. Unless Dale says something.
Yeah, you hear... Well, if you don't understand, I sure don't understand. But maybe there's more to learn. Perhaps.
How do you not know? I had a dream that you were given to me. Is that true?
Well, I don't know if dreams are true. You have me, so somehow you obtained me, but was I given to you, or... That makes as much sense as anything, I suppose.
But also, how... You're so clear in your thoughts, I just always knew what you thought. And now hearing them is a different thing. I mean, maybe I'm just really good now at being a druid.
You haven't always heard me. Is that what you're saying?
No. She kind of.
No, you haven't always heard me, or no, that's not what you're saying.
I don't know.
Well, if you don't know, I don't know.
Does Dale's voice sound familiar to me? I ask because as Ashley, I was curious if I've ever heard my father speak.
Yeah. Make a history check.
Okay.
For your memory.
Oh my gosh. 7 + 2. 9.
You do not recognize the voice. It's the elven is very proper and correct. No slang. It's like British English to American English, you know? I mean, I know they have slang, but just classic British English to American English. It's a lot more proper sounding, like the Queen's English would be to those of us who, you know, say things like ain't gonna get none of that, you know?
I've always heard you, Dale. I just... Your thoughts are coming more clear here, and I don't know why that is.
Well, I guess if we keep going, maybe we'll learn. We just can't stop.
What happens if we stop?
Well, then we'll never know, will we? And maybe you'll stop hearing me at all.
I thought you were going to go somewhere deeper with that, and okay. And so Gwen turns around and starts halting her gym.
Okay.
You know, you're not good at storytelling, as she walks past Joxer.
Davin leans into critics. Doesn't it seem like she's having more of a conversation with Nothing these days?
I kind of tuned it out about 6 weeks ago, honestly, but she's piping up a little bit more than usual.
Well, before it seemed like she was just talking, but now it seems like she's conversing. There's a difference.
Sometimes it feels like the same thing to me, but
are you guys speaking near me in this? Or
I don't
privately?
Even know where you were.
I think we're all kind of standing. You're all standing kind of there together. Yeah, by that cart.
Okay. You really don't want to know what she's saying, since she's been using a lot more Elvish lately.
I noticed that part. I don't know. Maybe she's just homesick. We're all a little homesick at this point, I think.
You're probably right, especially being so nearby the Elven lands, and this is something she's been looking for, if this is, you know, the Almanora she spoke of. Safe to say that it's inspiring lots of unique qualities in our friend.
Yeah, but we haven't found anything. I mean, we found some things, but nothing we're actually looking for, you know?
I didn't realize I was looking for those peppercorns, but by all the gods, I am glad I found them.
I don't want to sound greedy at all, but on the map, the thing right to the south of us is a diamond. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel, but I think that should be our next destination.
You won't hear me argue.
I'm really interested to wonder how far these are. We didn't see it. Obviously, we were coming at an angle, but I'm curious how much further each one of these are. Are they going to be a day's travel, or maybe just a short path? Might be worth holding up a bit and scouting to an extent. But I mean, we have to travel to one.
I would be happy to scout ahead if you'd like. I've got a lot of experience doing that safely. It's your choice,
though.
Well,
I definitely trust your abilities if you're willing to, and if the companions here have no qualms or quarry.
You should scout one direction. I think I have an idea for scouting the opposite direction. So maybe we could get a general idea of things at the same time.
I like that idea. Divide and conquer.
So does that mean we're going to set up camp here for a little while we...
I could go for perhaps a seasoned meal of, what was that, leek, and potatoes, and turnips, and...
I do have some cookware that I never get to
start
use.
Chanting, peppercorns, peppercorns.
Yeah, I think we deserve that.
Well, deserve it or not, it sounds delicious.
Well, there's also no use in sitting outside when we have these perfectly good huts around here.
Another good thought, yes. There are beds. When's the last time you slept in a bed?
I reckon it was the Goblin Village with Giss. I mean, if you want to call the beds in the caves an actual
bed. You slept in a bed with Giss?
I'm not Giss's sweetie.
Oh, that's right. I wonder how they're doing.
The goblin?
Yeah, the little one.
He has a sweetie.
Yeah, he does.
So they are well after Donaldi left. They are well.
Seems to be.
I imagine they're thriving. Now that they're in from underneath his thumb.
Unless he's made it back, I don't suppose that would be good.
They said he was heading this direction, so I really hope he didn't make it around us.
Oh, I don't believe he has to travel by foot.
Well, that's
by horse?
Unsettling.
No, someone as powerful as Darnaldi can...
I hold up my cape by wing?
I mean, I believe he could, but I think he has faster ways. Have you ever heard of anyone disappearing from one location and appearing immediately at another? I think they call it teleportation.
I do recall a race going quite sour to a spell such as that.
Okay, well, He's pretty powerful. He has that in his arsenal, I believe. So he could be back there and then back here in less than a day, I believe, or perhaps a couple days.
Well, right now we have no idea where he is, and it doesn't really matter to us.
That's true.
So let's relax. We'll get a good meal. We'll scout out these two places that are nearest to us, I guess, huh?
He looks around while you're talking, and when you're finished says, I don't know how much I can relax here, but I can definitely see myself eating a good meal for once and at least getting that one eye open kind of sleep that you get in a place like this.
Gwen, how do you feel about a vegetable soup?
Oh! Did you say vegetable soup?
I think I could pull out something with these vegetables.
Oh! I would love some.
Devin just smiles big.
She said no stutter. She hasn't had vegetable soup since her mom passed, so it's been a year or so. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go back towards the well, and I'm going to start getting this stuff taken care of. You guys do whatever you want to do. I'll meet you back over there.
You kind of see Craig's wandering to look for a hut, but as he's kind of like wandering off alone, he's just chant, peppercorns, peppercorns.
Well, give me so some. I'll put it in the soup. And Davin's going to take the vegetables, and he's going to take out his cookware, and he's going to set up a fire, and he's going to start putting together a soup. He'll use the wand to make a bunch of water and food that he just throws aside. He just wants the water.
And you could probably use the food as your firewood, because there's not really anything around. So
all right.
You're burning the tapioca food to make real food. So
there you go. That's what I'm spending the rest of this time doing.
Yeah. I'll be, you know, getting some, you know, of the peppercorn, pulling it out, closing up the hole, and then
there is that rock salt in there as well.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, definitely yeah.
Grab for some freshness, but there's also a seasoning element to that too. So you're making me want soup a little bit, actually. Like for real. But then Kriegs, you're just kind of wandering off. What are you wandering off to do?
I mean, we have these huts and different things. I'm just trying to see if there's one nearby that is the least dilapidated of the rest and okay. Somewhere we could maybe be comfortable.
Yeah. You find several. They're all at some phase of being, you know, kind of being torn down by what has happened to this, the rot that has kind of taken over this area. But you can find a few kind of grouped together that the inside isn't as bad as some of the inside of some of the others. And so there are, you know, probably a total of 6 or 7 beds available that don't really have that funky smell, don't have any kind of rot or anything going on the beds themselves. Now they're made from kind of bramble and branches, and the pillows are just kind of stuffed with, you know, leaves and straw and stuff that's kind of been worn with time and made not super fluffy and comfortable like a down feather mattress and pillow would be, but it's better than the ground for sure.
Then I'm going to kind of just set a couple things in there and regroup with the gang and,
okay,
you know, inform them that I found a place that's probably as comfortable as it's going to be here.
Okay. And Carmen, As you head off to do that and Joxer heads off to get stuff, Carmen just mentions to Davin as he's walking away, I'll just scout our general area here a little bit, but just to make sure all is safe before we kind of let our guard down to enjoy a meal. And he kind of begins walking the perimeter, doing his typical, you know, patrol of like he would do. And Gwen, what are you doing?
Gwen probably made her way back over to the well and probably sat up against it and started looking at the gym again and probably put Dale beside her, and they're probably just talking about nothing much to say, just looking at the stone and examining it.
Okay. After a little while that you can start to smell this smell, and you realize you haven't really smelled anything other than rot in days, except for when the lid was first taken off of that barrel of peppercorns. But now you smell not only the peppercorn smell, but this just almost like a sauce that these leeks kind of provide this delicious, they kind of, when you boil them like that, they just kind of melt away and create this kind of thickness in the soup from the starchiness, and the potatoes create the same thing. And it becomes this really just amazing smell as these flavors all merge together. And you realize, Davin, you've got plenty of these vegetables left after making what you think is enough soup to feed each other, to feed everybody two or three times tonight and let everybody stuff themselves silly. And you prepare this meal, and Carmen comes back. Kriggs has kind of come back and arrived as well, as Jocks are sitting kind of watching. Your fire's crackling. It's burning fast. You're having to throw those bits of conjured food onto the fire, you know, pretty regularly to keep fuel in there enough to burn. It's burning away quickly, but it's working, and there's plenty of that food. So you've got your burn pile behind you there. And as Carmen approaches, he says, I don't want to alarm anyone, but I believe we should steer clear of the spice fields. There seems to be some large burrowing holes there. I don't know what they are for. I did not want to investigate too closely, but hopefully if we keep our distance, everything will be okay. I definitely recommend having a round of watches tonight, not just all of us letting our guard down too much.
Oh?
Large burrowing holes?
Yes, near the edge of the spice fields, far towards the edge. I was in the trees, that's why I saw them. I was up high.
Gwendolyn's eyes kind of get large, and she thinks of the creatures that took one of her elven buddies back at the very beginning of the campaign. Vip.
Okay.
What if these are the same creatures that took Vip? And she starts to, like, heavy breathe.
That would be a fair reason to leave. Those are mean, mean creatures.
Well, Gwen, if you recall, we managed somewhat decently back then, and I'm gonna kind of just, like, teasingly feel her bicep muscle. I think you've been working out. You probably take one just on your own these days.
I mean, and she's blushing. I mean, we took one, but if there's several holes, then I don't know.
Tell me this creature. What is it that you mean? I don't know. I wasn't obviously there when. You think you may know what these are?
Well, it had a very thick carapace and large pincers, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were not the funnest things in the world, but they're not terrible either. But more importantly to me, it's like we're here looking for answers, right? And those holes might have some sort of answers to them.
Let's focus on eating, but I agree, we'll take a watch. I feel that I might be able to get maybe some answers out of it after we eat. Maybe I can kind of use the same same method to scout in and see if maybe there's no one home, I guess.
Oh, it could be abandoned, just like this place. Anyway, the soup's ready.
I think we should eat soup. Does anyone have a bowl? Are there bowls anywhere? He turns and looks at the huts like he's going to go look for dishes, unless you guys say anything.
Well, I have mugs. Normally for brew, but I imagine this would work fairly well.
Did you chop the vegetables? Can we eat them? Can we drink these vegetables?
I mean, it's a little chunky, but that's the way I like it.
Oh yes, me too. Thank you. And he grabs one of those mugs out of your hand immediately, and he's pretty excited.
My mess kit comes with a shallow bowl, so I will use the bowl.
Okay. Shallow bowls are frustrating.
Better than a plate.
That's true.
I trust you didn't hold back on the expensive peppercorn.
It's plenty of pepper, trust me.
Yes. And I just get just a big old stein of it.
Okay. As Carmen's eating, he's... Ooh, yes, you You didn't hold back on the peppercorn. I could taste it. I like it, though. It's good. It's good. And he keeps kind of sipping the soup.
Well, when you got two spices, you got to make the most of them.
Good point. It's very salt and pepper vegetable soup. It's good. I like it. You know,
yeah, no, this is fantastic.
Yes, you know that feeling when you are so hungry that you can... It's like you've never tasted delicious food before. And so, yes, I wasn't that hungry, but just my taste, I haven't tasted like in a long time. So it's very good.
Kriggs, I you see me wiping my mouth like with the back of my hand, and seconds, please.
Alrighty, huh? All right.
Look, it's good soup. I'm hungry. The peppercorn really puts a little hair on the chest. Let's keep it rolling.
let me get some first, and she grabs some.
We got any brews to go with this?
Yes. Actually, hold on 1 second. I don't know what I heard whenever you said brew would go good with this. Absolutely no idea, but I figured it out. lay it out, jump down there, and just kind of maybe see if I can spice up something else that's already down there.
Awesome. Are you rolling for that?
Sure.
Or do you just have stuff in stock?
I'll probably roll. Let's see here. Where's that little guy over here?
Kriggs, if I be honest with you, I kind of hope that something is down in those holes. I've hankering for another good fight. I'm starting to enjoy it.
Well, just say the word, and Kriggs, I just jokingly start rolling up my sleeves.
Well, I don't want to fight you. I want to fight something that I can kill.
You're afraid to fight me, is what you're saying.
Well, it depends on what kind of fight we're going to have. I mean, if we're going fisticuffs, I'm going to lose. But if it's going to be like whoever can throw the other person back 100 feet with magic, I think I'm going to beat you.
I have very strong magics.
And I have very strong brews. So this one's definitely different. The peppercorn kind of added a little kick to it, but it's very invigorating.
Please don't hold back. And Carmen reaches for one immediately.
Yeah, no, and you know, I'll pour it out and lay it out so everybody can grab it and take as they want. This would be kind of like a small health potion if I don't get anything out of it. So just a little extra boost for you guys.
I'll guzzle it down.
He's drinking and eating. Go ahead.
I was gonna say I'm gonna have my soup stein and my beer stein and the other hand just double fisting.
Yeah. That starts to burn on one side, and then you drink it, and it feels a little better. And you it's addictive. You can't stop either.
Oh, this is delectable. I believe we should call this one Ale Menorah.
Carmen, I like that. I like that. I think we should. We get back somewhere. We get back to you know what they need in Wild Hill. They need a restaurant, and you open one. You cook the soup. You make your brews. And we call it peppercorns.
You know, Carmen, I was just starting to like you.
I'm sorry. I think it's good you use this pepper. There's enough peppercorn here to last a year worth of recipes, or to pay for an entire restaurant. You think? I don't know. Anyway, I could
never took you for the enterprising type, Carmen.
Oh well, you know, if. I won't be able to steal my whole life. Someday I'm going to be grateful for the investments I've made.
Oh, we all got to settle down eventually.
This soup is really nice.
It is.
So I can say that I've definitely considered opening up a shop. I'm a little curious about who I'd bring on for helping with brews. Right now, spell slots.
What about Giss and the goblins? I bet they would love an enterprising opportunity away from their little village. Kind of live life a little bit broader.
That's true.
You got me. I could probably set up shop with Justice and she could sell like a smith, and Magic Man over there could spend his days with Tolliver and tell wild stories about, well, who knows what.
Oh, I don't think she wants to see me again, I'm sorry.
And Tolliver, she gives me the heebs.
Apparently I give her the heebs, I don't know.
You give her the heebs.
And don't forget Vale. He could come and play.
That's goblin true. Knows what he's doing.
He really does. That instrument, I've never seen anything like it.
Goblin ingenuity for you, honestly.
Yes, who knew? I always thought they were just beasts.
Aren't we all, though?
You know what you know until you know something different.
Well, I mean, I was good imagining all that, but we need to get back to reality here.
Yes, I suppose I should begin some more scouting. I think I made my stomach too full, but I'll walk it off. Climb it off, I suppose. I've been spending most of my time in the trees. The ground just doesn't feel safe to me.
Should we investigate those holes or just leave them be?
I think I have that under control.
Hello, hirelings. It's me, your Dungeon Master, Michael. I just wanted to invite you to check out an episode of a show called The Everyday DM. I had a conversation with Heath over there, and we talked everything from tips and tricks about dungeon mastering, the start of the hired swords. We talk about encouragement, inspiration for new dungeon masters, as well as closing off with my favorite monster, featuring a story from one of the episodes of The Hired Swords as well. So I recommend you go check out his podcast. Listen to a lot of his episodes, or all of them, because he does a great job. And tell him that The Hired Swords sent you. Again, that is The Everyday DM. You could search any of your podcast apps to find it, and there he will be. Thanks again. Enjoy the show.
If you can just kind of make sure I don't fall over, or I don't know. As I kind of like open up my little book and then look inside and then kind of start focusing, and I'll cast Arcane Eye, which basically a little, yeah, I guess you guys can't see it, but an invisible magical eye hovers within range around me, and I can move it 30 feet in any direction with no limit on how far it can move. And I can do this for up to an hour, so I could pretty much just go 2 to 3 miles in with the little eyeball.
Okay. All right. So you can move it towards there.
How close do you have to be to it?
Yeah. How close do you have to be to it to move it? It doesn't say.
No, it says as an action, you can move the eye up to 30 feet in any direction. There is no limit to how far away you can move away from you, the eye can move. But it can't enter another plane of existence.
So you can move 30 feet per round.
Yeah, so every six seconds, it can go 30 feet.
Got it.
That I tell it, and I can receive visual information from the eye, and it has 30 feet of normal and dark vision.
Okay.
You can really also say, see in like, all directions.
He was doing anything, so I'm sitting there holding my steins, and I look at him, and he's kind of just like focused.
Chrissy, wake up!
Yeah.
Is he doing it?
I mean, I've seen that blink stare before.
Carmen waves his hand in front of his eyes.
He has that blank stare, but
yes, I'm concentrating. I'm seeing other things.
Maybe have too much to drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's gonna start, and then I'll probably start yelling at everybody who's teasing me, you know, back and forth.
Okay. The eye starts to move in the direction of where Carmen said those holes were. You get out into the spice fields, and it's, I suppose it's just hovering, like floating above the ground, and yeah, it goes.
I like the idea of it having to roll across the ground.
Yeah, you see the
just a little hamster ball,
and it makes its way toward you. You kind of direct it towards the backside of the fields, kind of where he said, and sure enough, you see one of these holes burrowed into the ground, and it's at first goes straight down, and as the eye looks straight down, your visual kind of adjusts to more dark vision, where you lose a sense of depth a little bit, and you lose kind of some of the color that wasn't really much of that anyway, but it almost gets more grainy, you know, as you're looking down. And it starts to go down inside this hole. Do you want to just send him down until just as far as it can, or?
Yeah. I'm traveling. So
gotcha. So it goes down inside the hole, turns a corner a little bit, and you start to see these large, probably these holes in the ground, on the bottom of this burrow or hole in the ground, and these smaller holes that are probably the size of like a baseball bat, like the circumference of a baseball bat, pretty good size holes. And you see like two big holes and then two more big holes. And then you see what looks to be like four more indentions, two on each side in the earth, but they're not deep holes like that. And the eye continues to move deeper and deeper until finally about 5 minutes after getting inside this hole, you think you've gone down pretty deep at this point. There's been a couple real drop-offs, but then you happen right up onto these nine eyes and two pincers that look to be the size of a short sword, almost, just huge pincers. And it's just moving the pincers just slightly, barely, and the eyes are closed, and you see this kind of tufts of hair, and you see these eight legs of this thing pulled into itself, and you can see this slight breathing motion as whatever this large, giant, gimungous creature is sleeping inside this burrow.
That moment, I will lose concentration as it catches me off guard whenever that happens. And yes, it's them.
Like the same creature?
Yes. I just don't remember it being that big. I don't know if it's from the using that spell, but oh god, the pincers were gigantic. It had hair. Do we remember hair last time?
I don't.
I don't recommend starting that way.
There were three of those holes, at least, that I saw. Did they seem connected? Were you able to tell? Is it all belonged to that one creature, or could there be three of whatever you're talking about?
There very well could be three. I only saw one, but they were all connected.
Hmm.
So it's hard to tell. They're fairly vast, and they can burrow and pop out of the ground from anywhere. It doesn't seem that they're unable to just kind of move as we would, you know, walk.
Oh no. I suggest we steer clear, like you said. What do you guys think? By the way, Gwen, about this time, you understand this magical item you've been holding, and you realize that anything you need to do any kind of work with, like any kind of tool you might need, this thing will be that for you.
Ooh.
And so
with armor utility knife.
So what you have is an all-purpose tool, a +1 magical all-purpose tool.
Whoa.
So you can use it to, you know, use it as a lockpick, use it to carve something out of stone or into stone or whatever you can think of that a normal tool set would be, this thing will be it for you. And you get a plus one on the rolls for it.
Oh my gosh. Neato.
Well, yeah. I mean, is there a benefit for us? There's no benefit to attacking those things, right?
Making sure it doesn't surprise us somewhere.
Well, I guess there's that, yeah.
I mean, those tunnels were vast. I mean, obviously, we only saw there, but at least I definitely worry that it could go beyond these fields.
Well, are we safe being here for the night, or should we start moving to the next place, away from it?
It seemed asleep. As long as we don't make too many movements, I can't imagine it's going to just attack in this village that it already hasn't, so. I think we'd be safe, as you know, and we can keep watch.
It's not quite nighttime yet. Are those kinds of creatures nocturnal, or are they likely to wake up because the night comes?
I don't quite remember.
I feel like it was when we were heading back? No, we went there during the day, so that it was like afternoon, evening, so I guess right now it makes sense for it to sleep. Or, well, no, it should be awake right now.
Well, we're not for sure this is the exact same thing either. But if it's asleep right now, I'd say it's more likely nocturnal, right? Because if it's not nighttime yet, and it's still, if it's sleeping now, I would guess it'd wake up soon.
Maybe it got tired? Took a nap? Either way, I think we should at least give ourselves some distance from here.
Griggs, you're being awfully quiet.
I'm sorry, a little Griggs. Soup drunk.
I know you spent some time looking and, you know, making a nice bed for all of us, but we might have to move on.
I think I'll trust your judgment. I'm fine to bed down anywhere, honestly, especially after such a good meal, but I don't know. What do you think?
Or we could just kill it. I mean, hear me out. This is probably the reason the people left this place, right? They're probably haunted by whatever this creature is. It might even be part of whatever's going on here. I mean, do we want to just leave it? What if we find the people? What if they want to come back to their homes? We could rid the creature, and then they could actually do that.
I don't hate that idea.
We do currently have the upper hand of knowledge of their existence. Do you think it's possible we set up a bit of a trap for our friends? Carmen, you're one for ambushes.
I'm liking the sound of this. I don't necessarily like the sound of putting ourselves in unnecessary danger, but especially for the likes of people we don't even know are alive anymore. But I'm
look
sorry,
where we
you
are.
Were saying, Gwendolyn?
Look where we are. This whole place is unnecessary danger.
But I kind of agree with Carmen. Why would we want to poke the bear?
Is there a bear? No, I'm just kidding, of course.
oh my gosh, Carmen.
Sorry, that was more Michael. Sorry. I was in character, but Carmen didn't say that.
my fear is that it could burrow and attack us anywhere. So I, with or without helping the people that may or may not be here, We could get it. It could burrow in the next night. It could burrow at any time if it could feel our vibrations and find us.
It's like, have you ever seen a spider on the wall and you go to get your shoe and when you come back the spider's gone and then you can't sleep for like 2 nights because you know it's somewhere in the house?
No, I like spiders.
Okay, you're the wrong audience for this. I'm just saying some things are just... It's better if you know how to control the situation.
I guess. I mean, I'll trust you guys. I'll trust you.
We're a group. We make decisions together. But I think we should handle it now that we know where it is. And I think we should handle it now.
I'm with you on that one. I think we could coerce it to come up in a direction that we can at least get a kind of a surprise attack against it. Ambush
and
it.
My axe! Hammer, sorry.
And my bow!
With our powers combined.
Well, then what's your plan?
Oh, I don't do that part. That part's Craig's.
Well, being that it's a bit of an ambush, what do you suggest, Carmen?
Well, we'll need to be somewhere hidden, of course. There's plenty of trees around. Probably stay off the ground, those of us who can attack without being on the ground. Then, although if they're as large as you say they might be, then perhaps they could reach us wherever we can climb, but I don't know. Then lure them out somehow. I don't know if just disturbing their sleep would do it, or... I don't know. Does anyone have a way to assault them with a lot of something like fire, or... I don't suppose poison would be effective, would it? Acid, or... I don't know.
I do remember...
Put something in the hole with them.
Yeah, I mean, we could definitely find something to lure. I feel like Davin could probably conjure some kind of fire for the hole. But I do remember now, I feel like whenever it looked at you, you didn't feel right. So you don't want to at least be too, I don't know, just, you don't want it to look at you, or you to look at it.
The creature, something's wrong with it when it looks at you, huh?
Yeah, just, it feels like it takes something from you.
Honestly, I kind of attributed disturbing. It to gas, but, yeah. I mean.
Why don't we blow up the barrel of peppercorn and make him sneeze out?
Oh. I beg your pardon?
That thing's worth like 10,000 gold.
Yeah, we can throw... I mean, I don't know how well that barrel would explode with... But alcohol, I have barrels of liquid fire sorts. We could probably blow that up.
I like
first.
That. I don't like the idea of burning the alcohol, but I do like the idea of liquid fire. That sounds like a very dangerous and probably a very, I don't know, bad thing to do to something or someone. But in this case, I think it might be a good idea.
Yeah, what? we could throw one of those down and probably light it up with something. Davin, I'm...
Oh, Craig's here.
That would be quite easy to do.
Craig's is the magic user. He said it himself.
I'll show you my magics.
I don't know why you guys don't want to use the barrel of peppercorn. I mean, the alcohol is really good.
It is, and I with more peppercorn, I can make more alcohol.
I could also buy more alcohol.
It was really good.
You know what was in that soup?
Carrots and leeks and...
Peppercorns!
I think...
That's the name of the episode, isn't it? Just peppercorns.
That'd be perfect.
I like it.
I guess you're right. I don't know.
Give me flavor. Give me heat. Give me, just something else besides that slop we've... Look, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. But come on, peppercorns.
And if we're going to attack these things, then give me fuel, give me fire. Give me that.
Give you that what you desire.
Yes. Sorry, that's what I thought of when you said, give me... flavor.
That was actually the slightly kind of inspiration behind that cadence.
But seriously, Carmen says, I think fire might be a good approach for this thing.
So question. Obviously, I remember the majority of the way through. Do I remember maybe a potential for being able to get fairly close to it from one of the holes that I know was an entry point?
The way you...
That's what she said. Sorry!
Just felt like you held it in as long as you could.
I think that You definitely think it is a difficult and windy path to get to where this creature was asleep. It's going to be literally someone or something or somehow going inside there to a point, because you traveled through for 5 minutes as this eye before you got down there to where you could see the thing. So, and there was some drop-offs and some turns and twists that you feel like it's going to have to be someone or something going in there, starting that process and getting out. If you want to try to do this while it's asleep.
So there is a bit of a difficulty. It had a bit of windy road to get there. So we couldn't just, you know, throw it down and explode it. So someone would have to go down there and surprise it and run away with some haste.
Look, life is a highway, and I'm going to ride it all night long.
You're going my way.
Would you say that it was more than 500 feet deep?
30 feet. We said five. I mean, not all of that was 500 one direction. I think it would probably be within 500 feet.
All right. I mean, I don't need the windingness. I just need, like, straight up and down.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, because it was just a little windy, but it didn't go further away as much as that. I feel like we could make that work.
So Craig's and I go down there, and he lights it up, and then I bring him back up. Boom.
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 I think that we can do that. And then it's either going to die immediately, which would be nice, or it'll make its way up to the top, in which case we're ready.
Yeah, I think that would work out. I can, and I'll try to, like, I don't know, kind of start, like, figuring out how I draw out the path that I took, which is not going to be 100%, but I don't know how well that would be, because it, based on that, I'd have a pretty good idea, but I don't have it, like, full on. Because, you know, secondary sight there.
Okay. So, as you make a sleight of hand check, or let's make it a history check to see how well you remember that.
All right.
And Carmen pulls a bow out from his, under his kind of cloak that he's been wearing, and he says, I can be in the tree here, and if the creature comes from its burrow after you've attacked it, I can begin increasing the damage we do to it from here. What other positions can we take? And as you guys begin to discuss and plan, and Joxer begins to try to draw out his little pathway, that's where we're going to end the episode as we prepare to do this next time on the Hired Swords.
We're going to kill another monster.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Hired Swords. If you liked our show, tell a friend about us. And if you really liked our show, do us a favor and leave a review. Or, you know, tweet, shout from the top of a rooftop, whatever you gotta do. If you want to check out our merch shop, you can find us at thehired.store. And if you want to keep up with us, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at The Hired Swords. And again, thank you so much for listening.